Herod died in Haran. Father God, we just thank you, God, for this time, God. We pray, God, that tonight, God, as the word goes forth, God, you would speak, God, to us. God, open our hearts, God. Speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you sit down, give your neighbor a high five. You can have your seat. Amen. So tonight, I am going to talk a little bit about this guy named Terah. And so Terah was Abraham's father. He's not mentioned much in the Bible. I think there's three different references towards him, and maybe four different references, I'm sorry. But he was Abraham's father. And here in Genesis chapter 11, we see that him and his family decide to go on a journey. They decide to go from Canaan, from Ur of the Chaldeans to Canaan. And so this place, Ur of the Chaldeans, this was an evil place. This was a place where the people were idolaters. Even in the book of Daniel, when the king was trying to find someone to interpret his dream, in the book of Daniel, the king said, "Go get me the sorcerers. Go get me the soothsayers. Go get me the astronomers, and go get me the Chaldeans." So this was the place where they would worship. They worshiped the sun god, the moon god, and the people were an ungodly people. One commentary said the city was made up of thousands or hundreds of gods and goddesses. The people would do pagan worship. They would sacrifice to the gods. So this place that they were living in was a crazy place, right? And Terah decided to take them on this journey. If you read, let's read it. Genesis chapter 12. This is where Abram gets the call of the Lord. We'll read from verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your native country and your relatives and your family and your father's family and go into the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you.' So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. And Abram, 75 years old, and when he went, he left Haran, he took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all of his wealth, his livestock, and the people he had taken into the household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan when they arrived in Canaan." So here is the call of Abraham, right? So Abraham gets the call to leave his country, to leave his family, to leave his, and go into the promised land, right? If we're talking about Canaan, that's the promised land. How many of you guys know that that's where God called the Israelites to go to? Remember, they went through the desert, they went through the wilderness for 40 years. But this is where God had called Abraham to go. So they went on this journey, and it said that they settled in Haran. So if you look at a map, from Ur to Canaan, there was a midway point, a halfway point, and that was this town called Haran. And it said that they settled in Haran, and Terah died there. And some say that he got sick. Some say he couldn't make the journey anymore. But I think he just got comfortable. And how many of you guys have ever been comfortable? Maybe not just with it when in Christ, but how many of you guys have just been comfortable in life? Or how many of you guys have ever been at the beach just kicking back, right? Or you guys are just relaxing, you have your family, you're on vacation, right? That's comfortable, right? But how many of you guys have ever known someone that's only went halfway? It's funny, on the way into the sanctuary, Pastor was talking to me and the guys about people that had fallen off, that aren't around anymore. They went halfway. And I think sometimes we can look at people in the church, or we can look at people that we've served God with, and we look around and they're not here no more. And I think they only made it halfway. Let's turn our Bible to Mark chapter 10. And so this last Sunday night, how many of you guys love our Sunday night services? I believe it was last Sunday night, if not, it was the one before. Brother Devin spoke, and he spoke a message about the rich young ruler. And I want to use a part of that story. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. So in this story, 17 through 31, we're not going to actually read it. I don't know why I made you turn your Bible there. Now you guys know where Mark chapter 17 is. Good job. You passed the test. Just want to make sure you guys knew that was in the Bible. But the story of the rich young ruler, Devin spoke about it this last Sunday. And He did everything that he was supposed to do. He followed the commandments. And when Jesus, he went to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "Sell all of your possessions and give it to the poor." And then he walked away really sad, right? And so what's crazy after this is the disciples, they start tripping. You could read this in there. They start talking to themselves. If he can't be saved and he followed everything, how can we be saved? And then Peter speaks up in verse 28 and it says, "Then Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you.'" How many know that God doesn't just want some of us, right? God wants all of us. God doesn't just want the good parts of us. He wants all of us, right? He wants our imperfection. He wants our flaws. He wants our mistakes. He wants our dreams. He wants our baggage. He wants our goals. He wants our desire. God wants all of us, right? And this rich young ruler, he got really sad because he had a lot of money. And it was the one thing that he didn't want to give up. And if I asked you here tonight, I'm not going to ask you to answer, but what's that one thing that you won't give up for God? What's that one thing that's holding you back from giving it all to God? In Luke chapter 14, I am going to read this passage if you want to turn there. Luke 14, verse 25. I'm just going to start reading. I'm going to read about eight scriptures. It says, Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross to come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intended to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'The man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king goes to make war against another king does not sit down first with his and consider whether he is able to, with his 10,000, to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever you does not forsake all, let me say that again, whoever you does not forsake all cannot be my disciple." So here in this passage is talking about counting the cost. And I was thinking about what it means to be a Christian. Now some people could say that they're a Christian, just like if you put a car in a garage, right? I'm messing up this analogy. Just because you're in a garage doesn't make you a car, right? And just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. I'll get it. But when we think about being a Christian, being a disciple of God, what that means is giving it all away. It's saying, "God, you can have every part of my life, every part of me, every desire, every dream, every goal. It's all yours." So we need to count the cost. We need to not hold anything back. It's fully obeying God. So Terah and his family, they go to Canaan. And they only make it halfway there. Remember that song? "Oh, we're halfway." All right. I'm not going to sing. But there's that song, right? So they make it halfway. And they end up going to Canaan. And so here in this city, it was a flourishing city. It was a good place to stop. They can get what they needed there. The city was named after his son. But in this city, they worshiped the same God that they did in Ur. The Bible doesn't say this, but maybe Terah found a new place to worship. So in Joshua 24, verse 2, it says, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods.'" So here, Terah, when he was there in the city of Ur, he worshipped this god, this moon god. He was like the highest god. You know how there's ranks? He was like the highest god. And then when he went to this other city in Haran, they worshipped that same god. Now, the Bible doesn't say that that's why he went there or that's why he stopped. But in the same city where they worshiped the same God, maybe it was because he wanted to find another place to worship him. He had served this God his whole life. This false God, this God, he had lived for him, right? And Abraham had this call from God to go to Canaan. And Abraham was was faithful and he obeyed what God said. And when God spoke, he just stepped out in faith and he did it, right? But in these times, there was like a order of things. When your dad was still alive, he was like the patriarch of the house. So Abraham was there with his dad until his dad died. So he was kind of stuck there, right? So Terah came from this background, and it seemed like he escaped it, and it seemed like he went away, but then he got to Haran and just found that same background. And how many know that sometimes when we overcome something, we think that we're okay, right? How many guys have ever defeated something? Something that the devil has had you bound by and you thought you're okay with it, right? But then all of a sudden it comes back, right? How many know that Satan doesn't like you? Tell your neighbor, Satan doesn't like you. Tell your other neighbor. So Satan came back with the same God, and it caused Terah to dwell in this land further, and to dwell in this land. When we instead of dealing with something right, instead of trying to just tuck it away or hide it away, how many know that stuff's gonna come back? How many know that when you're going through something, you gotta deal with it. You gotta let God go deep in your heart and deal with it. You gotta get counsel from your leaders, counsel from your pastor. You gotta pray. You gotta resist the devil so he shall flee, right? You gotta do these, submit to God. You gotta do these things or that stuff's gonna come back and try to take you out again, right? So the word Haran, when they got to the city of Haran, the word in I believe it's Hebrew, it means mountain. So when Terah got to this mountain, the city that was on a mountain, he decided he was done climbing. Have you ever seen someone come into the men's home or the women's home and leave early? Have you ever seen someone come and get in a relationship and get married too early? Have you ever seen someone come and start serving God and then all of a sudden they're gone? Why? Because when we get to a mountain, they decided to stop climbing. How many know that if you want to get to a new level, you can't do the same thing that you did at the old level, right? So this morning, I work with kids that have behavior problems. I took my kid, the client that I worked with, we went to the mountain, and we went for a hike. And so as we're going up the mountain on the first hill, we're looking at each other, and we're like, why did we do this? Like, it's hard. But we had said at the bottom of the hill, like, we're going to get to that point and then we'll come back, right? But I remember we were both looking and I was like, whose idea was this? Like, why'd you talk me into this? Like, I don't want to go climbing. This is hard work. And so when we get to a mountain, it's hard work, right? We got to do something. When you get to a mountain, to get to the next place, you got to climb. I mean, you know that when you want to go to another level with God, it's never easy. I remember in college, I'm going to get unspiritual real quick. In high school, I remember playing baseball. And I was able to get by any team that I faced with just my fastball and my curveball. Right? I was pretty good at baseball. And any team that we played, I was able to just throw those two pitches and it was good, right? But then when I went to college, everybody had seen a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. Every kid that I faced had seen a curveball. And so I had to do something different. I had to learn how to throw a changeup. I messed with the split finger. I had to learn those things. And I remember being, when I first got there, being one of the worst pitchers on the team. So by the end of the year, being one of the best because I put in the work, right? And it's the same thing with God. Like when we get to a place where where it's easy, it's time to do some more work, right? I don't know about you, but as a Christian, you're going to get to a place where you're just getting by. It happens to all of us. We all get to a place where we get stuck or we just go through the motions. But how many know if you want to go to another level, you got to do something else. You got to strive. You got to pray. You got to read. You got to fast. You got to grab a book. You got to ask somebody, hey, help me. I need to go to another level, right? So when we get to a mountain place, we can't settle. We got to do more. We can't get to the promised land if we ain't willing to climb higher with God. Maybe there's something in your life that you keep messing up with, or something that you keep facing and keep failing, or there's some pride in your life, or there's some lust in your life, or there's something that you're holding on to, or whatever it is, if you're not willing to face that, you're never going to get higher with God. You're never going to climb. You're never going to get to a new level. You're never going to be able to do all that God has for you. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it says, I read this, I'm going to read it again. It says, get out of your country. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So when God called Abraham to leave and go into another country, he said, I'm going to bless you, right? But he challenged two things. He challenged Abraham's faith, and he challenged his obedience. Abram had to walk it out before ever seen it, right? They had never been to the land of Canaan. They had never been there, but he had to just trust God, and by faith and by obedience, do it, right? In Hebrews 11, 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then in 11, 8, it said, by faith, Abraham obeyed. So faith is simply doing it without seeing it. And how many know that? I know that God's given us a great call here in Victory Outreach Albuquerque. I know that this church should not have empty seats, right? God's called us to do great things in this city, right? God's called us to even as we partner with other ministries for Convoy of Hope and Freedom Salvation, God's going to do something great in this city. He's going to use you and he's going to use me for that, right? But it's going to take us to step out by faith. Some of us, including myself, I'm going to tell myself, haven't even registered to volunteer for Convoy of Hope. I'm going to do that tonight. Siobhan, remind you. We haven't even registered because we are not putting our faith into action. Some of us have not grabbed flyers from the back of the table. We've been announcing it for, I don't even know how long, for a long time now. And there's some of us here that haven't done it. We got to start putting some action to our faith. Amen? That scripture said that you're to leave your father's house. So the word, the name Terah, it meant delay or stay. So when God told Abram to leave the house of his father, he was telling him to leave the house of delay. Leave the house of delay. He said, you've been here too long. I know that there's some people in this room that are called to preach the gospel. Are you in Vetti? I know there's people that are called to reach people. Do you have flyers with you? Do you go out to the streets? There's people that are here to call to be lay pastors, to be life group leaders. But are you willing to sacrifice your Friday night? The comforts are our killers. Those things that we settle on are the things that keep us from growing with God. The things that we settle on are the things that keep us growing from God. It said that Terah got to Haran and he settled there. And he stayed there. And he got comfortable there. And when he stopped moving, he died. Stop delaying and start letting God do what he wants in your life. Three things that cause us to delay. If you're taking notes, three things that cause us to delay. Number one is our comforts. Our comforts cause us to delay. They cause us to keep going on with God. This simply means to not wanting to give up your stuff. I remember when I first came to Victory Outreach Albuquerque, I had been coming like in the summers. I would come and play baseball up here in the summer, and I would come to the church. But I remember after college, when I first came back, I was trying to be a professional baseball player. And I had tried, I had pro baseball tryouts. I had different things that I had tried to do. I had independent pro contracts that they had offered me to play. And I had chose to come back to Albuquerque, and I was going to play baseball in Mexico on the weekends with one of my friends that had did it professionally. And I remember like every step of the way, like the door would close. So out of junior college, I was talking to like three scouts after every game, and they would say, "We're gonna draft you, probably draft you late. You could still go to college, or you could whatever, right?" So I go to Division I. I do way better there. They're talking to scouts there. I don't get drafted. I get an independent pro contract, and like I feel like it's just not the right time, so I don't do that. So I move back to Albuquerque, and I'm gonna do this thing in Mexico. And right before we go up, the team gets canceled. And I remember God speaking to me clearly. And he said, "Give me your desires and I'll give it all back to you." And I remember as soon as I was just like, "You know what, God, anything that you want is yours." That was right after that, I became a leader in the church. God started giving me a calling. I started, you know, working with guys and God really got a hold of my life like I never had before. And it wasn't until I gave up that one thing that was special to me, right? I loved baseball. Still love baseball. I like to play. I love to play softball. I love to watch it, right? But there was a point where God said, "Give it to me." So I gave it to him. And you know, this might sound stupid to you guys or whatever, but there was a point a few years ago, there was this show called Longmire. I don't know if anybody's seen it. But for some reason, someone tagged me on a post, and I got for like an extra, right? And so I wrote back on it, and they called me, and they're like, "We want you to be an extra." So I went over there, and I did it for one day, and I was in the background of this one episode for like 12 seconds, like barely. But I'm in there, I promise. But I remember a while later, I got this check. It was like for $80 or whatever. It wasn't like crazy, but I remember God like speaking to me. And this might, like I said, it might sound dumb, but God... I got paid to play baseball professionally. It might have been $86, but God gave me the desires of my heart. And I remember that whenever we give up the comforts of the things that we love, God's going to give it all back to us. It's not wanting, comfort is not wanting to sacrifice your personal stuff, your time, your space, your money. Dude, when Pastor comes up here, or Mark, or Pastor Pat, or me, and we're like, "Dude, we're going to do a building pledge." Like, why not get involved? This is your church, right? Like, I have no question. I'm just like, I don't know how I'm going to do it sometimes, but my hand goes up every single time. Why? Because I believe in this ministry. I believe in the vision of our pastor. I believe that as we beautify the church, more people are going to come. How many know that we should have this church looking awesome, right? This is God's house. Right? We should jump at those opportunities. Someone once said this: either way, you're going to experience pain. The pain of change or the pain of staying the same. Why not just give it all to God? Why delay anymore? Why not just give it all to God and get closer? I think one of the worst feelings that I've ever felt is when I feel stuck. Like I'm not connecting to God. And the only way out of that is to change something. Like there's times where I'll get up and I'll do my devotions and I'll read. And I do devotions with some of the guys. I do one with my wife every single morning. And I'll pray. And there's times where I'm just like not connecting to God. And I'm like, "Okay, God, what are you trying to do right now? Like I'm trying to connect to you. I'm praying. I'm seeking you." And God's like, "I need you to do something more. I need you to change." That's where I have to, you know, grab a new book to pray, a new book to read. I need to pray longer. That's why I need to say, "You know, I'm going to go on a fast." That's when I say, "You know, I'm going to call someone and ask them to speak into my life." That's when you're not getting connected to God, God wants you to do something more. To step out and grow. Do something more. Do something that's going to make you uncomfortable. Tell your neighbor, uncomfortable. The second thing that will cause us to delay is sin. You can't make it to your promised land if you're caught up in sin. So the Chaldeans, they were sinful people, like I said. They were idolaters. And God called them out of there, right? And then they went to Haran, and they worshiped false gods there, and God called them out of there. And then, like I said, in Joshua 24, it showed that Terah used to worship false gods. But Terah couldn't make it to where Abraham was called to the promised land because he wasn't right with God. He was still living in sin. He was still worshiping false gods. And when you're in sin, it's easy to be comfortable. When you're in sin, it's easy to not want change. It's easy to not want to move closer to God. Sin will cause us to delay. What sin does is it separates us from God. Number three, holding on to something or someone. So Terah, he wasn't going to make it because of his sin, right? But Abraham got delayed because of this. When God calls us, sometimes we have to give up people that we love. We don't stop loving them, but they aren't part of our journey. I remember growing up, I was like 16 years old, me and my best friend, we were serving God together there in Victory Outreach Raton. And I remember we were so close. I would stay at his house all the time. He'd stay at my house. I would go to his house. I don't ask to go to the fridge. I just go get what I wanted, right? It was my house. I would call his mom, mom. He would call my mom, mom. And I remember there was a point in our friendship where he started to get with all these girls, and he started to smoke, and he started to go to parties. And I remember, like, when I was around him, I'd want to do those things too. And I remember having to, like, break up with him. We say, "Oh, I'm just kidding." I remember having to, like, take a break and be like, "You know, if I love you, you're my friend, you're my best friend, but like, I can't be around you if you're going to do this stuff." Because he was holding me back from what God had called me to do. And, you know, maybe there's someone in your life that's holding you back. Whenever you're around them, all you do is gossip. Or whenever you're around them, all you do is worry. Or whenever you're around them, you guys sin together. They aren't part of your final destination. They're delaying you from where God's called you to be. Or maybe it's something that you need to give up. Like I said, I had to give up my dreams of being a professional baseball player. But even for the rich young ruler, it was his money. He had a lot of money. But what's that one thing that you're holding on to? Is it a job? Is it lust? Is it whatever? Is it refusing to step out in obedience? Whatever it is, we don't want to be halfway Christians. We don't want to be people that go halfway and then give up. Someone once said this: when you stop growing, you start dying. Are we still growing? Are we still reading? Are we still praying? Are we still fasting? Are we still going after God? Or are we stuck at the bottom of the mountain not wanting to climb no more? Tonight, as the worship team comes, I want to close with this story. So worship team makes their way. I read this story, and it goes right along with what we're talking about. It says a famous mountain climbing resort in the Swiss Alps caters to businesses that encourage their employees to hike up the mountain and trails together. The goal is to build camaraderie and teach teamwork. Although it is about an 8-hour trek to the summit, anyone in reasonably good shape can ascend to the top. In the mornings, the hikers gather at the base of the mountain for a pep talk before starting the climb. Usually the group is so excited they can hardly wait to head up the slopes, have a group picture taken, and celebrate the excitement and journey they are embarking on. They hike for several hours before they take a break. Approximately halfway up the mountain stands a quaint alpine restaurant. About noon, the weary hikers trudge into the restaurant, peel off their hiking gear, and plop down by the fireplace to a cup of coffee or hot chocolate and eat their lunch. With the mountain as their backdrop, the hikers savor the warm, cozy, picturesque setting. Interestingly, after they are full and comfortable, fewer than half the hikers choose to continue climbing to the top of the mountain. It isn't because they aren't able. It's because the climb suddenly appears too difficult. Their reluctance to continue is simply because they're satisfied with where they are. They've lost their drive to excel, to explore a new horizon, and to experience vistas that they previously never imagined possible. They've tasted a bit of success, and they think that it's good enough. Let's all stand tonight. It's not that they couldn't make it up. It's that they chose to stay in their comforts. And I think sometimes with us, it's not that we can't make it. It's not that we can't do more for God. It's not that we can't be all that we could be for God. It's that we choose to stay in our comforts. It's that we choose to stay in our sin. It's that we choose to stay living a comfortable life, looking up at the mountain, just staying there, settling there. Let's all close our eyes tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you're caught up in some kind of sin, or you're struggling giving up something, or you've been in a place where you're just not growing anymore. Maybe you're here, you're stuck at the mountain and you don't know how to start climbing again. But tonight it's simple. All you got to do is just give it to God. The Bible says, cast your cares upon me for I care for you. We were never meant to carry all of our junk. We're meant to give it to God. God took all that, all of our sin, all of our weaknesses, all of our mistakes, all of our baggage. He took all that on the cross. We don't have to hold on to that. We just need to give it to Him. And when we do that, God will take us further than we've ever been. Jesus, Father God, I pray, God, tonight, God, before we open these altars, God, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit, God, will go through this sanctuary, God. You would really check our hearts tonight, God. God, show us, God, if we're not giving our all to you, God, if we've been settling, God, if we've been caught up in some kind of sin, or we've been refusing to give you some part of our life, God. I pray, God, that tonight, God, that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, convict us, God. Challenge us, God. Show us, God, that we could do more for you, Lord. Oh, Father God, we praise you. Come on, if any of this message spoke to you, these altars are open. Let's come up here. Let's cast our cares at His feet. Let's cast it all at His feet and say, God, I want to go further.